Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We are blessed to have back on the line our good friend, John Meacham. Now, John's been on several times, and we are just, every time he comes on, we get new and fresher revelations of the soon return of Jesus Christ. That's what this whole series is about. Jesus is returning soon. So without further ado, I'm going to say, welcome, John. Thank you for coming back on the program.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. It's good to be with you here today. I actually did something before I talked to you that I used to do before I preached each Sunday. I actually went to, I don't get a newspaper anymore. I get my news on MSN. I go there and I look at the stories streaming across the page and read about what's going on in the world. But I'm back to that frame of mind where I figured if I'm going on with Pastor Bob and something significant has happened last night, I need to know about it.
Amen.
Because in the world today, it seems like all this stuff is going on with impeachments and wars. And, you know, it's like in the biblical revelation of when the end times are upon us, is all this weather news and all these, you'll hear about wars and famines and everything, and I thought, you know, it's kind of getting like that now.
Yeah.
But actually, over the years, I was a lay pastor, lay preacher, for 20-plus years, and I actually had a day-to-day pastor preaching administrative responsibility in four different churches. So each Sunday, before I would go in to preach, the last thing I'd do before I left my house is I'd get the newspaper out, the Sunday newspaper. I'd read the front section, all the headlines, and I'd turn to the local section, read the local stuff. Now, I didn't read the sports. I figured sports ain't got nothing to do when I get in the pulpit.
Amen.
I heard a good line on a TV show the other day. A young family was getting ready to go to the game, and the mother said, "Let's pray for our team." And the daughter said, "Well, what's God going to do when they pray for the other team?" And the father, who was very wise, said, "God's going to take care of all of us." But, you know, I said, if I'm getting ready, I better know what's happening. But then when I looked at the MSN news screen, I realized when we get our news today on the Internet, the important stuff is really mixed up with the ads for facial products, with the entertainment stories, with the sports stories, not like on the old newspapers. I don't know if you still look at an old newspaper where the front headline reads what's going on. And I said, what if Jesus returned yesterday? You know, would they just have it as one little clip there? Jesus returns to Galilee.
Mm-hmm. Probably on the back page, buried
on
somewhere.
On the back page, yeah.
Yep.
You know, I'm just not sure any of this is relevant anymore. You know, they used to have in the newspaper, they used to have a religion section.
Mm-hmm,
I don't even know if they do religion on the MSN and all those things anymore, because we've talked on countless occasions about what controls your mind. Is it your human nature or your spiritual nature?
Mm-hmm.
And I think our country, the Christians in this country, my opinion is, and that in a buck will get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's, that more of our Christians are controlled by our human nature, and we're really not in tune to the spiritual news around us.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. You know, with one of the things that I've been noticing on the news, I don't read newspapers or even online news that often, but one thing that I see, like the fires down in Australia and the fires out in California, and then, you know, the earthquakes in the Philippines, and all, it's called convergence. All of these things are converging at a rapid pace all at the same time, which Jesus said it'd be like that just before he came back. I mean, it just...
Well, you know, I'm getting goosebumps, negative goosebumps, because you're the one that set me on cue to be on the lookout for this stuff. In one of our interviews, oh, maybe even as much as a year or so ago, you said what we're going to start seeing is this hasn't happened in 1,000 years,
mm-hmm.
or this has
yep.
never happened.
Yep.
Well, Pastor Bob, the days that you prophesied that were coming, they're here now.
That's right. It's here. And, you know, you're talking about Jesus' return in 2022. I was doing an interview with someone yesterday who said the same exact thing, that the way he, you know, sees Bible prophecy being fulfilled, he said somewhere fall 22 to spring 23 is what he thinks that all of this stuff's going to start wrapping up. And I told
you know,
him
all
about
of my...
you. I mean, this is just, it just, you know, confirmation from various sources that we are wrapping this thing up.
Well, you know, all of my information comes from dreams and visions and mm-hmm. relationship with God and studying Scripture and looking at the world around me. But there's a guy that was on Twitter. You know, they banished me from Twitter, so I'm on Facebook now. That's a whole nother drama scene. but he had, where I say 9/19/22 as dreams and visions and realizations, I'll actually tell you today how I got the 22 part. He says 9/11/22.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's right, and he studied all the numerics and the Daniel and all that stuff. So, you're right. Everything is coming together. And I think one of the points that I want to make, and I try to make when I post all these things, as I've told you, I've sent out over 50,000 messages, and more are going out today. They've been seen over 55 million times. One of the message I'm trying to send is that I'm one of the signs. In other words, one of the biblical signs that Jesus is coming is when he told Peter in John 21:22 that if I want him to live until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. John's going to be here. And that's what we're talking about in our interviews now. We're doing a series about I Am John the Apostle from the Bible. And we're discussing the divine revelations God has used to prepare me for my call, to prepare the way for Jesus' second coming.
Mm-hmm.
We've already discussed born again. We've talked about God speaks from the fiery cloud. We've talked about the dazzling light. Now, these are all chapters in my book, Divine Revelation, A Call from Christ to Join the Armies of Heaven. But as we've talked about before, the book's no longer for sale. It's not in print. The publisher went bankrupt. There's a strange little story, and I may have told you this before, about the publisher and his son crossing the border into Canada to escape bankruptcy court in this country. I don't know if that's true or not, but I heard their situation was pretty bleak. But if anybody would like a copy of the book, I've got 40 or 50 of them left. All they need to do is go to my website, dazzlinglight.org, email me their request, and send me their mailing address. I'll mail the book to them, no charge for the book, and I'll pay the postage. But if they would, please mention that they heard us talk on Kingdom Crossroads podcast.
Amen.
Well, today's subject is Jesus Sings at Amity Church. Now, as the other chapters have gone, and I've told you in the previous interviews, I open up each chapter with a passage from Scripture, because I feel that if I have divine revelations from God, before I share them with other people, as the readers of this book, on Facebook or Twitter or at my website or in your podcast, that I need to make sure that the revelation has relevance to those people. So I figured the only way I can make sure it has relevance is if I tie it into Scripture. Well, the passage that I'll be reading today opens up this chapter titled Jesus Sings, and it's from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. It's a retelling of the time when the seven apostles were there on the shores of Lake Tiberias, and Jesus was getting ready to leave our group and go up into heaven. It was from John 21:22. when the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel? Jesus said that to them, the time and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and is not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After this, he was taken up to heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away, when two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you saw him leave and go to heaven. And that's what I'm doing now, Pastor Bob. I'm as I've told you, I'm working. I'm working as John, the apostle of Jesus Christ, and getting ready. I'm getting ready to go back to Galilee and wait for him there on 9/19/22. I have to be at the Earth and Stone stage at 3:51 p.m. waiting. And I think the thing I want to make clear with everyone who hears this and with you, I don't know if Jesus will come that day or not, or at that time. But as we've talked about before, that's my instruction. My call is to be there.
Right.
And to be there waiting, to look into the northern sky for him to be coming on a cloud. But I don't know if he's going to come or not. Only God knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have to be there. It's like, you know, when we're told to do things that don't necessarily make sense to us, we still have to be obedient.
Right.
Now, this story Jesus sings at Amity Church, I want to read to you from the book, mainly just so I'll stay on track and I won't get too, you know, I won't go off point, or I won't try to discuss the details as we're going. But as you're listening, I want you to listen for what gets your attention when you hear this story.
Okay, first, where is Amity Church, and what is it?
It's in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, all right.
This is where I lived when all this was happening. As we talked about, all this is happening in the early 1980s. I was born again on 10/24/82. I heard God speak from the fiery cloud on 11/16/82. I saw the dazzling light on 1/7/83, developed the AIM program for Amity Church. It was the parting of the pages, like we talked about last time, was the scripture passages. And this is just not too far after that. This is going to be happening in 1985. So this all happened 30-plus years ago.
Okay.
During my morning devotion, Saturday, April 6, 1985, the day between Good Friday and Easter Sunday in 1985, the Holy Spirit gave me specific instructions for Friday, April 12th. I hope you've noticed while reading the first four chapters the importance of obedience. Yes, some things seem outrageous, both to others and you. Crazy might even be a better word to describe the instructions or even the feeling associated with obeying these instructions. But we still must be obedient. So I had my marching orders for that day. I left my office at the architectural engineering firm at 11 o'clock in the morning and drove to Frank List Park. I parked my blue-gray Buick near the lake so I could pick up Jesus at noon. Yep, Jesus in my car. I didn't know what to expect. On the one hand, I was excited, but the prevailing feeling was fear of the unknown. The Holy Spirit informed me that Jesus would ride in the back seat. Why? I'm not sure. I wasn't told. More importantly, I was not to smoke or commit any sins in his presence during the 3 days Jesus would spend with me. At noon, I felt the presence of Jesus enter the back seat. I looked into the rearview mirror and the voice of Jesus said, I am ready. I drove out of the park making sure I obeyed the unusual 19 miles per hour speed limit. By the time I turned left onto Stowe Road, the presence of his spirit overwhelmed me. My body visibly shook with nervous excitement. To calm my excitement and steady my nerves, I lit a cigarette. Big mistake. Because of my disobedience, I coughed and gagged. My body shook in anguish. Just as I lurched forward to vomit, Jesus said, "I told you not to smoke in my presence." I extinguished the cigarette, drove us to my home on Wild Leaf Court in silence. When we pulled into the driveway and drove past the dogwood tree in our front yard, the Spirit of Jesus exited the back seat and entered me. My body felt light as a feather. Similar to the morning that I heard God speak, my mind was clear of my past and free of the burdens of my life. For the first and only time in my life, I felt that with Jesus indwelling me that I was without sin, and my spirit felt fully alive and in total harmony with God. I felt perfect. That night, after we met my parents for dinner and put the boys to bed, I longed for a peaceful and restful night of sleep. Receiving Jesus' Spirit while exhilarating in the spiritual realm wore out my human body. Feeling Christ's continuing presence in my soul, I tossed and turned most of the night. Finally, I got up at about 4 o'clock, an hour earlier than my usual time to start my devotions at the kitchen table. As I felt the Spirit of Jesus awaken my soul, I opened the Good News, Bible to page 351. Then I saw heaven open, and there was a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True. It is with justice that he judges and fights his battles. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and he wore many crowns on his head. He had a name written on him, but no one except himself knows what it is. The robe he wore was covered with blood. His name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven followed him, riding on white horses and dressed in clean white linen. Out of his mouth came a sharp sword, with which he will defeat the nations. He will rule over them with a rod of iron, and he will trample. He will trample out the wine in the winepress of the furious anger of the Almighty God. On his robe and on his thigh was written the name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Revelation 19:11-16. After reading this passage, Jesus gave me my new name and informed me that he would sing the next day during the 11 o'clock worship service at Amity Church. At church the next morning, I experienced his love grow a thousandfold as he consumed my whole being with his eternal love for his Father and his deep concern for his church. This spiritual experience reached its crescendo when we stood in worship to sing Eternal God, Whose Power Upholds. As Jesus told me during devotions the day before, when I opened my mouth to sing, his voice proclaimed the words of this hymn. After the worship service at Amity that fateful Sunday, Reverend Fred Holbrook, who stood at the pulpit just a few feet away from where Jesus sang in the second pew, said to me, "I heard Jesus sing through you today." "Yeah, I know, and he's still with me," I replied. What were some things that struck you in that story, Pastor Bob?
Just the presence of Jesus. Inhabiting, we know the Holy Spirit dwells in, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, so it is Jesus that dwells in us. But that he would, I guess the question I have is, why 3 days? Why did you get the impression that he was going to be with you for 3 days?
What were the 3 days? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What are those 3 days?
Okay.
Those are the days of the crucifixion, the in the tomb, and then the resurrection. Remember, this is all happening the weekend after Easter.
Okay.
So those 3 days are coinciding with the 3 days of Jesus'. Remember, and in the story, it all starts at noon. Mm-hmm. I pick him up at noon, which is the time the crucifixion started.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think all of these are always, there's a confirmation piece there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're confirming that this is a real event because it's paralleling, you know, how we talked about time as a circle. Well, the circle of time keeps going around, and this is a paralleling of that circle of time.
Amen. 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 So when you sang at church and the pastor said he heard Jesus singing through you, did anybody else say anything?
Oh, yeah. People were wanting to come up and hug me, and it was just like, oh, that was just so wonderful. I mean, it was spellbinding. Amen. If you were within, it was really loud. So people within four or five rows could hear, and I mean, we were all just overwhelmed. It literally took your breath away if you were close to me.
Amen. Amen. So what happened after that?
Well, I think when we look at this story, I think as a divine revelation, remember, God is revealing. And God is revealing to the world and to me. And when he reveals it to me, there are really three pieces to that. There's the confirmation piece, the preparation piece, and the sign piece. You know, so I always have to be looking at what's going on. And a lot of times, Pastor Bob, I don't even notice it until afterwards. Some of the things I'm just now picking up now, 30-some years later, and preparing to talk to you, I realize, hey, this is really coming to life now.
Amen.
Well, in the story of this experience, probably the most important first thing is the lake. Now, this is not really a lake, but it's a pond at this Frank Liz Park. And guess what this particular pond is shaped like? What body of water?
I have no idea.
What's the key body of water in my story?
Galilee?
The Sea of Galilee. Mm-hmm. It's shaped exactly like it. It has the, you know, it has where the eastern end of the Sea of Galilee is straight and the northern end is wider than the southern end, and it comes around and curves in and then goes down. I don't know if you ever have heard all of this, but they don't call it the Sea of Galilee there. They either call it Lake Galilee, Lake Tiberias, or Lake Kinneret. And the word Kinneret actually means violin. Because if you look at the Sea of Galilee, it's shaped like a violin. And I said, okay, you know, I got this sign. And you know, I've told you before that when the Lord told me where to go in Galilee, he sent me latitude and longitude coordinates of where I was supposed to stay. So that's the first time I realized this little pond. And it's neat to see people fishing in it, and I always walk around it. But, you know, that this is where I got the first clue that I'm going to the Sea of Galilee, which later becomes a preparation, it becomes a confirmation, and then it's a sign. Now, one of the other things, and I don't know if you picked up on this, you know, the two numbers that drive me in all I do are 919. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed that when you call me that my area code is 919.
Yep. Yep.
The day I'm going back for the second coming is 9/19/22. The day of Jesus' birthday, 9/19/03. And I don't know if I've told you this story, but the first time I ever put those two numbers together was when my oldest son was, he was less than three, maybe older than two, somewhere he was probably 2 years old. And a little something else about my oldest son, his first word was light.
Amen.
So I'm automatically in tune to, you know, maybe there's going to be messages coming through my oldest son. Well, all of a sudden, he started getting into numbers, and he's always loved numbers and go through this and that. And Pastor Bob, one day, he told me, he said, Dad, you know, my favorite numbers are 9 and 19. A two-year-old child is telling you his favorite numbers are 9 and 19.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been on Clue for 9 and 19 all these years, and then in hearing this revelation, did you pick up what the speed limit was at this Franklin Park?
19, yeah.
19 miles an hour. Isn't that weird? I mean, there's never been any place I've ever been that 19 is the speed limit. And there's other things that were happening right then when I felt the presence of Jesus get in the car. Did you remember what he said?
Don't smoke in his presence?
Well, that was before. I don't smoke now, but I did see it. When you got in the car, And I looked in the rearview mirror. I didn't see anything. Mm-hmm. But what I heard was, I am ready.
Right.
And we'll talk about that next time when we talk about the dreams of the second coming, when he gets into the car off the earth and stone stage, after I see him in this dream of the second coming and gets in the back seat of the car, guess what he says?
He's ready?
I am ready.
Mm-hmm.
Those three words, I am ready.
Amen.
So there's something about this, and I'm getting it more and more as I prepare to talk to you, as I look at the world around us, as I interpret what the Lord's telling me about looking into the northern horizon on the earth and stone stage beside the Sea of Galilee, because Jesus is ready to return. I keep mm-hmm. getting that sense. Now, another thing that was a sign and a confirmation of a lot of importance, I don't know if you noticed the point at which Jesus left the back seat and indwelled me was when we passed the dogwood tree in our yard.
Right.
Now, you remember the dogwood tree was what the light went into in the Dazzling Light story. It's the same dogwood tree.
Okay.
You know, the dazzling light came through the sky. It transformed into an iridescent Moravian star and flew into the dogwood tree. My interpretation of that has always been God came into the world, he transformed into the presence of Jesus Christ, and unfortunately, we crucified him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, Christian legend, and I love Christian legend, nothing to document this, but Christian legend has it that the tree of the cross was the dogwood tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
That at the time it was a hardwood, then it became a softwood in the white petal with the drop of blood on it.
Mm.
So, you know, here's the dogwood tree again, and the dogwood tree is significant. You know, when I passed it was when Jesus indwelled me.
Amen.
Now, you'll hear about this later when we get to the divine revelation and chapter in the book titled Christ in Galilee, because as I'm driving down Highway 92, searching for the earth and stone stage, looking for the spotlights that were assigned from this same Franklin's Park, Jesus does the same thing that he did this day. He indwells me.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for this portion of today's interview with John Meacham. We invited John back to talk about his visions and his experiences with Jesus as we discuss the soon return of Jesus, the heavenly calling that he has given John to prepare the world for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's been sharing some experiences with us that he's had. This one is entitled about Jesus singing at the Amity Church and how just a boldness came out and such great musical talent that people just kept commenting on. They were amazed that you know, he'd been singing in that church for years, but this was something different. Everybody knew it. And he's been sharing that encounter with us. Come back tomorrow as we conclude this interview, and we'll talk to you then. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.